Okay, the Rav says, I tell you what. I have a secret that I want to tell you. And the Galach said, you? You want to go and tell me a secret? The Rav says, yes. But remember, if I tell you the secret, it has to be according to the rules that no one finds out. Oh, of course, the Galach says. He was very curious what the Rav has to tell him. And the Rav says, but I don't want to go to the church, of course. And I want to do it in your house, but I don't want to sit on the special chair. I only want to sit by your table on regular chairs and not on the special chair that a person sits on to tell secrets. Do you agree that we could do that? And the Galach said, okay, fine. So the Rav says to the Galach, I would like to meet you in your house in exactly 1 hour, and I'm going to tell you my secret. Okay? The Galach went home, and in an hour later, the Rav came to the house of the Galach. They sit down by the table, and the Rav told the Galach the whole maisa of the 30,000 golden dollars. And he told him, he says, look, somebody threw it on my window. I would like to give it back to the post office, but I'm afraid that if I go and do it, they might make some kind of a trouble against Jews. And who knows who took the money? I don't even know who took the money, but I don't want to, chas v'shalom, make any trouble for the Jewish part of the town. This way, if I give you the money, you will go and give it to the post office. They cannot ask who gave it. And of course, because the Galach brought it, nobody's going to start up with you. And nobody can ask who gave it because they gave it to you in a secret telling. And according to the laws of the secret telling, you don't have to tell anybody in the world who gave it. Only they're going to be happy to get the 30,000 golden dollars. No questions are asked. The Jews won't get any trouble. And the post office will be happy to get the money back. And Yossel, who's locked up in the jail, who was put in jail because they thought he took the money, of course the Rav doesn't know who took the money, if he took it or not, Yossel, who's locked up in jail, he'll be able to go free, back to his family. And so, Kinalach, the Galach took the 30,000 golden dollars. The Rav went home. The Galach went to the post office. He gave the money back to them. Of course, they were very, very happy to get it. And of course, when they couldn't find out who gave it to the Galach because it was given in a secret telling. They let Yossel out of jail now, and Yossel now went free. Yossel went home, and his wife said, look, please, the first thing, go to the Rav and tell him the whole thing. Tell him the truth. The Rav should know. Yossel now, Kinalach, goes to the Rav's house and he tells the Rav the whole maisa. And he starts crying because he felt bad at what he did, that he took the money and he really shouldn't have done it. And look at all the trouble he caused. And he caused also a whole ganza maisa for the Rav over there, and he apologized. And he was crying. The Rav said, look, a person makes a mistake. You can always do tshuva. Just don't do such a thing again. And as this is going on, all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and in comes the Galach. The Galach came to the Rav's house, and the Galach brought the Rav 500 golden dollars. This was the reward the post office gave the Galach because the Galach had given the 30,000 golden dollars, so they gave him the reward. The Galach came in, and he says to the Rav, look, they gave me the reward, but since I didn't find the money, I didn't want to take the money. So since you really found the money, I felt you should have the money. And the Rav said, I really didn't find the money because it was thrown into my window, so I don't think I should take the money. Well, what should we do with the money? All of a sudden, the Rav had an idea. You see this man over here sitting here? This is Yossel. He was the one who was put in jail for the whole thing. And he's also a poor man. It's only right that since he had to suffer for the whole thing. He was in jail, and he's also a poor man. We'll give him the money. And the Galach said, okay, we'll give him the money. They gave Yosel the 500 golden dollars. He got the reward. And the Rav told him he should open up a store with the money and he should do some business. Yosel opened up a store in the town. And instead of schlepping around selling things from town to town, he had a nice store on a nice street in the town. And he sold things in his store. And he got to be a rich man. And he gave a lot of tzedakah. And that is the end of the Maise. Now once in a lock, there was a boy named Chaim. He was very vild. But he was from a family of tzaddikim. His father was a great Rebbe. And his mother was a great tzaddikis. And his brothers were big Talmidei Chachamim and great Tzaddikim. And his sisters were very fine from the girls. And Chaim himself was a big Yerei Shamayim and a big Talmud Chochem and a very smart boy. But he was vild. He Pashat had so much koyach and so much chayas and so much energy. He was always running and jumping. And he couldn't sit still. In his class, in the cheder, in yeshiva, he couldn't sit still. He would pop up from his seat and run around. He wasn't a troublemaker. He wasn't, chas v'shalom, a bad boy. He was a good boy. But he just had so much energy. He was so lebedik, he pashut couldn't sit still. He ran around the room. But he learned. He knew his chumash, and he knew his rashi, and he knew his mishnayis. But he just couldn't sit still. He was always running and jumping and popping up and down and jumping up and jumping down and running and bouncing and drumming and pounding and banging and singing. This was the nature that Hashem gave him. This is the way Hashem gave him. There's different kinds of people. Some people are quiet. That's the way Hashem made them. Some people are full of lebedikite and chayis and energy. There's different kinds of people. Hashem didn't make everybody the same. Hashem made people different. The Gemara says, just like everyone has a different face, there's no two people, except of course once in a while twins. But no two people have the same face. Everybody, his face is different. Or her face is different. So the same way their personality is different. The way they are is different. And Hashem says like this, by the Menorah, in the Beis HaMikdash, there were seven different candles. Different candles. Here's a candle on the right side, here's a candle on the left side, here's a candle in the middle. And each candle is making light. Each candle is a licht, making lichtigkeit. The same thing, every Yiddish and neshama is like a candle, but everybody's different. But they're all making light. They're all part of Hashem's menorah, making light the world. And this Chaim was a very, very special boy. And a very, very interesting boy, as you're going to see. One day, Kinalach, Chaim was running around the room. Now, don't do this because you know it's dangerous. I'm just telling you what he did. He was running and jumping. He jumped off a table. He was 9 years old. He jumped off a table. He landed in such a way that he broke his leg. He broke his leg. They went to the doctors to fix his leg, but it was so badly broken that it never fixed quite right, and for the rest of his life, Chaim had to limp on his leg. His leg turned in. The bones did not grow back right. Maybe because he couldn't keep still afterwards, because a person that breaks the bone, they have to keep very still in order that the bone should mend back together. Maybe Chaim couldn't be still enough for that. Or whatever was the case. Of course, everything is from Hashem. His leg turned in and he limped. He was like a handicapped person. He could not walk right. He limped. Now, that's just the way it happened. Now, Chaim got older. It came time for a shidduch to get married. As I told you, Chaim's family was a great Rabbanisha family, a very chashuv family. And now it was time to make a shidduch for Chaim. In those days, the way it worked was, in some families, the chassan did not see the kala until the day of the chasana, and they met under the chuppah. Now, Chaim's family arranged the shidduch by also a very, very chashuv family, a very special family, and they arranged that the daughter of this family should be the kala for their Chaim. And the other family agreed, and they never met Chaim. They only knew that the family that Reb Chaim comes from, the family of the chassan, is a very important, special family, a rabbanish family, a halakha family. So they agreed to the shidduch. And now it came time, the day of the chasana. The families came together for the first time. I mean, the chasan and kala came together for the first time. The families had already talked about the shidduch. Now it came the day of the chasana, and the chasan and the kala were going to meet for the first time in their life under the chuppah, or actually a little bit before going to the chuppah. By the Kabbalah's panim, they're going to meet before they go to the chuppah. They're meeting the day of their chasana, and they're going to get married. The guests arrive. Many, many people came because these are two very chashuva families. They had a lot of family and a lot of friends, and they're coming now to the chasana hall. The tables are set. People are there. And now it comes time for the Kabbalah's panim, the special Badekanish, where the chasan is going to go to the kala right before the chuppah, and then they're going to go to the chuppah. They're going to meet for the first time. All of a sudden, Kindalach, the kala is sitting on this special kala throne with the flowers, and her family, the women are standing all around her, and now the chasan is coming into the room together with the men, and they're singing a beautiful nigun, and all of a sudden, for the first time, the kala sees the chasan, and she sees the way he's walking. And he's limping. His leg is turned in. And right away she says to her mother, I don't want to marry him. Look how he's walking. He's limping like that. I don't want to marry him. The mother says, but he's a very special boy. He's a big Talmud Chacham. He comes from a Rabbanusha family. He's a Halakha Tzaddik himself. So his leg is going in. So what? No, but mom, I can't marry such a boy. Look at his leg, how it's going in like that. I don't think I could marry that boy. And the mother and the bubby, they try to speak to her that she should not look at that so much. She should overlook that. Everyone has got milas and chasreinus. Everyone has good things about them, and maybe something that's not 100%. Everybody's like that. So, okay, that's the way the leg is. No, but she wouldn't listen. She wouldn't hear it. She started to cry. She started to get very upset. And across the room, Kinalah Chaim, he saw what's going on. He's a very bright boy. He's very smart. He knows why the kala is upset. He saw what was going on. In a second, he knew what was going on. She didn't want to marry him. And right away he says to his father and to the other men, she doesn't want to marry me. I understand. I'm not going to force the girl. She's upset what she sees. But Chaim was not upset. He gave the girl a few minutes to talk to her family. And then he just told his father, and he told the men there from the family, he says, please go ask the kala, because she'd already said she doesn't want to marry him. And everyone is standing there ready for the chasana, ready to go and have a good time at the chasana. All of a sudden, it looks like the chasana is not going to happen. And everyone felt so bad. They felt bad for Chaim especially. But everyone saw also that Reb Chaim was not upset at all. And he didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't feel bad. He only said, ask the Kala one thing. If I could speak to her just for 1 minute in private, I only want to speak to her for a minute, maybe 2 minutes, just a few words. And if after that she doesn't want to marry me, no problem, I understand. But after the few minutes, maybe things will change. Just ask her, I should be able to speak to her for a few minutes. Well, the father of the chosn and maybe some of the other men from the family, they go over to the kala and they just say, look, the chosn, he sees what's going on and he's a very smart boy and he feels bad for you. He knows what you're going through. He doesn't feel sorry for himself. And he says, if you don't want, you don't have to marry him. Okay. Only he asks one thing. Could he please go and speak to you privately for a few minutes? That's all he wants. The girl listened to that. She stopped crying. She thought to herself, look, he's not making me that I should marry him. He's only asking that he wants to speak to me. Okay, what could that hurt? I'll let him speak to me. Okay, Kendalach, all of a sudden, as everyone is standing there, hundreds of people are standing there, waiting to see what's going to happen. The chosn and the kala, they went into the next room. Now, the Kabbalah's panim, where they were having the badekanish, was in the next room, was in a smaller room, and next door was the big hall where they were going to have the suda and the dancing and the music. That was in the next room, a big, big room. The chosn and the kala went into that room. Of course, they were not allowed just to close the door because that would be yuchud. It was open a little bit, but they were private. Nobody could hear what they were speaking about. They came into that room, Kinalach, and listened very closely. This was a big, special, fancy-schmancy room, and the walls were covered with mirrors. Some of the walls were just like big, gigantic mirrors that made a special effect in the room, and it made it very nice. The girl and the chosn, the kal and the chosn, they entered that room, and even before the chosn started to speak, the kala happened to notice right across from them was one of these big walls that was a big mirror. And she happened to look into the mirror. She looked into the wall. And she saw a very strange thing. The chosn looked fine. He was standing up straight. His legs were both straight. And she was standing, one leg was straight, and her leg was turning in. She was standing with a crooked leg. She looked down. She looked at her leg, her real leg. It was straight. Both legs were straight. She looked at the chosn's legs. One leg was straight. One leg was turning in. Was crooked. She looked back into the mirror. Now you all know, and everyone knows, that a mirror usually gives back exactly what you show it. A reflection in the mirror is exactly what you put in. That's what comes back to you. She looked into the mirror, Kinalach, and she saw again. The chosn is standing straight and nice and tall. And she has a turned-in leg. It's bent and it's crooked. She even started to walk a little bit towards the mirror, and she started limping. In the mirror, she was limping. Just like the chosn was limping before. And the chosn was standing straight. What's going on over here? And then the chosn started to speak to her and he said, I want you to know one thing. Chas v'shalom, if you don't want to marry me, nobody's going to force you. I understand how you feel. But I only want to tell you one thing. When I was a boy of 9 years old, I was very wild, running and jumping. And I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. And after I tell you what happened on a certain day when I was 9 years old, make your choice if you want to marry me or not. Even though I was so wild, but Hashem gave me a special neshama. Hashem benched me with a special chiluk in the neshama that I even knew about when I was a small boy. And with my neshama, I could see things that other people couldn't see. My father is a tzaddik. My Zaydis was a tzaddik. My alta Zaydis were tzaddikim. I had such a neshama where I could see chilukite, things in the himmel, things from Hashem. And that day I saw the kala that I'm going to marry. Like the Gemara says, the kala that a chassan is going to marry, this is called out even before they're born. Hashem decides who you're going to marry 40 days before you even become a baby. Even before you're born, 40 days, it's called out in the himmel. It says, Bas Plaini Laplaini, the daughter of this man is going to marry this chassan. It's decided. And I saw, Hashem showed me my kala. You know who He showed me? He showed me you. When I was 9 years old, I already saw you. I'm going to marry you. But then Hashem showed me something else. I saw that my kala is going to have a terrible accident. My kala is going to have such an accident that she's going to break her leg and she's going to have to be limping and handicapped. And her leg is going to turn in. And this is what my kala is going to have to go through for whatever reasons Hashem had. We don't always know why Hashem does things. Hashem's thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't figure out Hashem. Hashem is higher than us. And all of a sudden, I asked Hashem, Hashem, I don't want that to happen to my kala. Please, Hashem, I ask you one thing. Make it happen to me instead of my kala. If it has to happen, let me be her kapara. Let it happen to me and not her. And I davened to Hashem with my whole heart that it shouldn't happen to my kala, it should happen to me. And then I was running and jumping like I usually do. That's the way I played. And I jumped off a table. I tripped and I fell. I broke my leg. And you see what happened to me. But you know what? When it happened, I wasn't upset. I was thankful. I felt Hashem answered my davening. And so that's what happened a long time ago. And that's why I'm limping. And that's why my leg turns in. And that's why I'm handicapped. So, that's the story. If you still do not want to marry me, don't worry, you don't have to marry me. But since I feel that you're my shidduch, and we have from Hashem the bracha to be married, not from today, but from a long time ago, before we were both babies, my feeling is I would like to still marry you. Kinalach, what do you think the kala decided? She wants to marry him. They came out of that room, and the kala was smiling. She said, let's go to the chuppah. And nobody knew what had happened in that room until much later on, when they told this maisa to their children. Much later on, they told this maisa to their children. But everyone was very surprised, and then nobody knew what had happened in that room. Why, all of a sudden, after 2 minutes, the kala came out with a big smile, and she went happily to the chuppah. And now we know.